All right. Well, good morning again, everyone. Everybody doing good?
Yes.
All right. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 25.
Amen.
Amen. I just want to let everybody know real quick, we had problems with the copier this morning. That's why we do not have bulletins. It would not feed them through. It just kept jamming. So we're going to have to get the technician out here to figure that out. She was able to somewhat print. It wasn't really real clear, but the sermon notes, if you didn't get one, we do have some extra copies of them here if you need one. So if you'll just let us know, we'll be sure and get you one of those. But we do apologize. The copier did not want to cooperate today. did not want to wake up this morning. Also, I just wanted to mention we have that special real quick call conference to look at color patterns, I believe, for the shutters. We're going to do that immediately following our service and kind of decide which one we're going to go with on that. So if y'all will, we'll want to invite our church members to hang around for that for a little bit too. Okay? We're continuing on in the series that I had started the week before called Given It Will Be Given Unto You. It's based on Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Today we're going to talk about giving of your talent, giving of the gifts that God has blessed you with. Because I'm going to be honest with you, yeah, we do need to give of our income for the kingdom, but we also especially need to be willing to give of our gifts and talents. Because without those, the kingdom is not going to go anywhere. Without those, we're not going to reach the lost. We're not going to care for those who are in need. We're not going to have all of the things that we need to do to be able to reach out in times of need and stuff like that. So we're going to look at a very familiar parable. It's called the Parable of the Talents. But we want to talk a little bit this morning about how this connects to us here at Bethesda Baptist Church. We have a lot of talented people here at this church. We really do. And I hope that you'll understand by the end of this sermon this morning that God has given each and every one of you special abilities, gifts, talents, if you will. And He expects us to use those for the glorification of His kingdom. Not all of us have the same talent. Not all of us can sing. Not all of us can play an instrument. Not all of us can be good with numbers and things like that. Not all of us can be encouragers as other people can. Not all of us are as thoughtful as others. See, these are all gifts that God has blessed individuals with, and He expects us to use them for the kingdom. I want to take a second, and I want to do something a little bit different today. I want to take just a minute. I'm looking for some volunteers here. Here's what I want you to do. And I'm going to feel like an idiot if nobody does these. Amen. So please don't leave me hanging up here by myself in total silence. You know, that's not good. Amen. But anyhow, here's what I want to do. I want you to think of someone here at this church, and I want you to share what you think one of their gifts is that God has blessed them with. We're just going to take a second and do that around the room. I'm going to come around with the mic again. And you just call out that person's name and say, I believe that Miss So-and-so, Brother So-and-so has the gift of whatever. Because guys, I think it's important that sometimes we sell ourselves short, don't we? Sometimes we don't act like we have a lot of gifts and a lot of talents, but other people see them in us. And I think sometimes it's important to remind ourselves about that. And for other people to hear other people say that, then I think it means a lot to them. So I'm going to take just a second. And let's go with, someone you know here at the church. And basically all I want you to do is I want you to say, I believe that so-and-so has the gift of, and let's just share one gift that you think someone has here in this church. All right, Josh, we'll start with you.
I believe Kevin has the gift of annoyance.
I don't know if that's a gift, but sometimes I can put a smile on someone's face every now and then. All right, let's look around. All right, Miss Della, let's take a second over here.
I believe that Ann and Richard Cronick have the gift of generosity.
Amen. The gift of generosity, Brother Richard and Miss Ann, the gift of generosity. I agree with that 100%. Anyone else want to share a gift you think someone has real quick? And let's make them positive gifts, no more negative gifts. Positive gifts, okay? Or I will not come back.
Josh has the gift of making jokes out of nowhere.
All right. to put a laugh in somebody. All right, someone else. Yes.
I think James has the gift of understanding Scripture.
Okay, amen. Even at a young age, the gift of understanding Scripture.
I just think that Ms. Ann Cronick and Jerry Luxford had the gift of dealing with money.
Amen. I have the curse of spending it. Amen. We definitely need people that can handle it. Amen. Anybody else? Yes. I'll be right back there, Miss Denise.
I think that Tammy Strozier has the gift of thinking of what people need and helping them. And then I also think that the twins have the gift of being very thoughtful. They're very, very thoughtful young
people. Amen. Amen. All right. Good deal. All right. Denise?
I believe that Dennis has got the gift of putting a smile on everybody's face that he comes across.
Amen. I mean, look at him. You can't help but laugh when you look at him. Amen. Hey, that was positive. I mean, see, he's got a smile on his face. Amen. Okay, I'm sorry. I'll eat some crow right now, okay? Anybody else? Anyone else? Yes, Brother Wayne.
Yvonne Hiss has a good heart and helps everybody she can.
Amen. Good heart, helpful. Those are great gifts right there, by the way. Somebody else? Yes, let me come around over here to Becky. Amen. Go around a couple of more. I think it's important we recognize each other's gifts.
I think you, our pastor, has a great gift of leading the flock.
Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yes.
Okay, this was positive.
All right.
I think John has the gift of intelligence.
Amen. Amen. And he got it honestly from his parents. Amen. All right, I'm going to say something positive on that one. Amen. Amen.
Mama Ella's got a gift of talking.
Amen. I will definitely not touch that. Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else before we stop? Guys, yes, Brother Glenn. Okay.
Miss Jeanette's got the gift of sewing.
Amen. Fixing things, repairing things. Amen. Guys, y'all don't realize this. These are all gifts. That's what I'm talking about here.
I think Miss Becky has a gift of singing and also a blessing as a gift of being music director.
Amen. Amen. All right. Miss Kay?
Miss Dell, she has a gift for pianos.
Amen. The gift of music and playing. Hey, that's not a gift everybody has, by the way. And, you know, even some people that would like to learn that just can't learn it. I mean, they just don't have the patience to learn it. And for some, God just gifts them with that, especially these people I talked to. I was like, who taught you how to play the piano? Oh, I taught myself. I was like, what? How'd you do that? You know, God just gifts people sometimes like that. Someone else before we stop. Anybody? All right. Mr. Bud? Okay. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, amen. And you know, that's definitely a gift, the gift of help. The gift of help. That's definitely a big gift right there. Well, guys, I just wanted us to take a minute and share what we think some of our gifts are here, because that's what this parable is all about. I'm going to ask, if you will, those of you who can, stand to your feet. We're just going to read a few verses from Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 14. Verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that hath received the 5 talents went and traded them with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money." Father God, I just ask now, Lord, you add your blessings to the reading of your word. Lord, empty myself of me and let everything be about you and for you in the next few minutes, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This parable starts off with the owner of this large estate here who's decided he's going to take a long trip. Well, if you want to kind of parallel this with Jesus, this is kind of like what Jesus has entrusted us with while he is away preparing that place called heaven for us that we're all going to go to one day. What are we doing while he's away? What are we doing while he tarries before he comes back? So you see, he gave three different people three different levels of responsibility. This parable teaches us that success is a product of our work and talents. Guys, you're only successful when you use what God has given you to the glory of His kingdom. Amen? You're only successful when you're willing to use the talents that God's given you. God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden for what purpose? To work the garden, to take care of the garden, to look over it. We were made to work. Work, I said. Can I get a witness? Amen. We were not meant to sit around and have somebody else take care of us if we're perfectly capable of working. Amen. God did not intend for us to just sit back and let somebody else step in and take over and watch after us. Now, I understand if you're physically unable to do that, then yes, then someone else should be using their gift of help to help. But if you're capable of doing it, even the Apostle Paul says, if we don't work, we don't eat. But a lot of people don't live by that, do they? They believe that I ought to have this and I ought to have that. They feel like they're entitled to something. Guys, we're not entitled to anything if God doesn't see fit to give it to us. Amen. We're all called to work. We as believers have a mission that our Lord expects us to accomplish in the here and now. We have a mission that God wants us to accomplish in the here and now. Right now, in this 21st century we live in, we have a mission that God wants us to accomplish. You know what the problem is? A lot of people don't know what the mission is. They don't know what God's wanting them to do. You know why? Because they won't allow their talents to be manifested so that God can use those talents for His kingdom. Some people want to just sit there. Now look, we got three characters here. We got one that was given five talents. We got one that was given two, and we got one that was given one. Based on their ability, right? I mean, this landowner, this master, he knew that the one who could handle five was going to be fine with five. The one that could handle two would be fine with two. But the one that he only gave one, he's like, well, that should be okay for him, but I know if I give him too much, he's not going to be able to handle it. That's just like us here today, right? I mean, sometimes we get overwhelmed with things because God did not gift us in certain areas that we're trying to take on. Do you realize that? That's why a lot of people get frustrated and walk away from the church. It's because they're trying to do something God didn't gift them with. But I'm going to tell you what, He's given you something you can do for the kingdom. The question is, are you going to be willing to use it? Are you going to be willing to use it? Before I go on any further, I got to share something, especially for Della and Tony here. This was the craziest thing. This is good. You're not going to be the brunt of a joke here, amen. Let me share this with you. Here I am now. I'm sitting outside on the back patio this morning going over this sermon. And out of the blue, Larry texts me. Now I'm going over gifts and talents. And I'm in my mind saying, okay, Lord, let me try to think of some of the gifts I have so that I can put this sermon in perspective and see where I fit into this. Let me share with you what he sent me now. Just randomly out of the blue, he texts me this morning. And this is how I know that God, this sermon has lined up with what God wants today. This is what he said, if I can find it. Hold on a second. I'm looking for it here. Here we go. Like I said, just random. You know, it's been a while since I've talked to Larry. But Larry sends me this text this morning. It says, and these are verses from Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Philippians 1, 3 through 6. When I read this verse this morning, you were the first person I thought of. Your faithful prayers and encouragement to Anna were so huge to her and to me. Like you, I can't wait until the day comes when the Lord completes us all. I'm ready to get back what we've lost. The Lord bless you this morning and fill you with His Spirit as you share His Word. He didn't have a clue what I was preaching on this morning. But He sent me something I needed to hear. I needed to hear that, yes, encouragement is a gift. It's a gift that not enough people use, right? We don't encourage people enough. I just wanted to share that with you because I was like one of those whoa God moments right there where you know that there is a God, amen? Don't let anybody tell you there's no God. Because when He does things like this, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He exists, amen? There's no question about it. There's no question about it. You know, far too many Christians today see their salvation as simply a bus ticket to heaven. They see it as a bus ticket to heaven. They believe it doesn't matter what they do while they're waiting for the bus. Oh, I've already accepted Jesus as my Savior, so I'm guaranteed a place. I'm guaranteed a ticket to heaven one day. Well, if you truly have accepted Jesus as your Savior, yes, you're going to go to heaven. But you're not going to go with the same reward that someone else is going to go with. I just want to make sure everybody understands that. You see, they don't think that they have to do anything. The purpose of this parable is to teach us that what we're supposed to do while we wait for the return of Jesus. That's what this parable is all about. What are you doing for Jesus while Jesus is waiting for the word from the Father to come back and take His bride home? That's going to be a great day, isn't it? Some of us may be alive when that happens. Some of us may not. Some of us may have already gone on to be with the Lord at that point in time, just awaiting the resurrection and the reunification of body and soul. But you see, we all have a mission to complete while we're waiting. We're to continually use our talents to glorify God. See, Jesus wants us to work for Him by using our talents while we await His return. Jesus is coming back, amen. If you believe that, say amen. You better believe it because it's coming and it's happening. And it's going to be for real and it's going to be final when it does happen. That's the thing that probably scares me the most. I don't think enough people realize there'll be no second chances. When that trumpet sounds, you better have your life in order. You better have your salvation in order. You better make sure that everything is in order when that happens. The second lesson that I believe we can gather from this is that this parable teaches us that God always gives us everything we need to do what He has called us to do. Guys, God's going to never call you to do something if He doesn't give you what you need to do what He has called you to do. Everybody believe that? If He didn't call you to be an electrician, you're not going to be an electrician. If He didn't call you to be a preacher, you're not going to be a preacher. If He didn't call you to be a teacher, you're not going to be one. And if you try to cross into that and go against God's will, you're not going to be very good at what you're trying to do. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that. Trust me, I've seen a lot of bad teachers in my career. You know the first thing I think about? You weren't called into this profession. You got into it. And as a result, you weren't able to function the way that God really wanted you to function. But everyone has a calling. Everyone has a calling. We all have a mission. We all have a mission. In other words, He gives us various talents that we're expected to use for the kingdom while we await the return of our Savior. Guys, we got to get busy. We got to work. We got to use what God's given us. You ever heard the saying, if you don't use it, you lose it? Well, that's what this parable is talking about here. We're going to see that at the end of this parable. Okay, remember, we got three guys here in this parable. The five talent, the two talent, and the one talent. Now, let me jump back into Scripture for just a minute because I want to read what's going on here. Here we go now. This guy's gone off on a trip. Picture Jesus now. Jesus is away from us in heaven right now, right? We're working here on earth, getting ready for His return one day, or at least we ought to be. Some of us aren't working a whole lot, though, are we? Some of us aren't doing as much as other people are doing. You might say, well, preacher, I'm just not good at what those people are good at, so I can't get involved with that. No, that's not true. You can get involved because God's given you something you can do. He's given you something you can do. So you see, you got these three people right here. Five talents, two talents, one talent. Now look at what the Scripture says. Now, the guy comes back. Look at what he says here. And so, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. In other words, he's ready to come back and he's ready to settle up with them. Verse 19, verse 20. And so he that hath received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. In other words, these guys were excited when this guy came back. You know why? Because they used the ability God gave them to go out and double what he had entrusted them with. Are you going out and doubling what God's given you the ability to do for his kingdom? Or are you just simply going to be like this one right here? Look at this one right here. Verse 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. In other words, hold on a minute. Here it is. Let me scratch it up. Here it is. See, it's okay. It's safe. I didn't do anything to it. Here, take it back. You know, most people wouldn't be too upset by that. They say, oh, okay, well, at least you didn't squander it. At least you didn't lose it. No, the owner was upset. You know why? Because he had given him what he was capable of doing with, and he didn't do it. He didn't do it. He didn't go out and get more. He said, okay, I'm going to live my life. I'm not worrying about this. I'm going to stick it in the ground, and when he comes back, I'll at least be able to give it to him. Guys, that is what is happening in the churches today. People are burying their talents in the ground. They're burying them. They're not using them. And one day when Jesus comes back, guess what? You're going to have to start scratching all over the yard to find out where you hid all the stuff God had given you. And guess what? It's going to be too late then. You're going to have to reconcile with Jesus as to why you wasted those talents he gave you. Guys, I'm going to tell you, we're tempted to feel sorry for that servant sometimes who only received that 1 talent. But in reality, he received possibly as much as $1 million in current currency today. That talent could have been as much as $1 million in currency today. So he had a plenty. He had a plenty there that he could have done something with. And he buried it in his backyard. He buried it. He was given more than enough to meet the master's expectation. He was given more than enough to meet the master's expectation. But guess what? He didn't do it. You know why? Because he was lazy. If you believe there are a lot of lazy Christians in this world, say amen. I'm telling you, man, there's some lazy people in this world. They barely get up and go to work on Monday, let alone work for Jesus. They don't even want to get out of bed to go to work. But guys, I'm telling you, we were designed to work, amen? God designed us to work. He expects us to work. And not only he expects us to do our earthly work, but he expects us to do his kingdom work as well. He expects us to continue to do those things. You see, God doesn't expect us to preserve what's been entrusted to us, but rather we are to generate a return by using our talents. What are you generating for the kingdom with your talents? What are you generating? Are you helping others with the talents you have? As I look around this room here today, I see a lot of people who have generated good return from the talents God has given them. Amen. I see a lot of people that have done that. But guys, I'm sure there's some of us in here today who have not really given it our all as far as going out and giving back with what God's blessed us with. The servants were given more than enough to produce more, and it is the same with the gifts that God has given to us. He's given us these gifts free. Everybody has a gift. At least one gift. Some of us have multiple gifts. You know why God chooses to give some more gifts than others? Because they're more willing than others. That's why he gave 1 5 talents, 1 2 talent, and the other one 1. He knew the ones that would get it done. So he wasn't going to waste a lot of his time on the ones that weren't going to get it done. So you may only have 1 real talent you're good at, or 1 real gift you're good at, but give it all you got with that gift, amen? Give it all you got. Don't go bury it in the sand. Don't bury it in the sand. The third thing that the parable of the talents teaches us is that we are not all created equal. We're not all created equal. If you're glad we're not all equal, say amen. Man, I'm glad I'm not like everybody else in the room. I'm glad I'm different. I'm glad you're different than me. If we all thought the same and acted the same and did the same things and were gifted in the same things, we'd only be able to do those things, right? So God's given us multiple gifts. He's given us multiple different personalities to interact with people. And he expects us to use that for his glory. The master gave to each of the servants according to his ability. In other words, if I'm not capable of doing something that Tony's capable of doing, he's not going to expect me to do it. He's going to expect Tony to do it. If I'm not capable of doing something that Vicky can do, he's not going to expect me to do that. He's going to expect her to do that. But what he has given me a gift for, he's going to expect me to use it. Amen? He's going to expect me to do all I can with what he's given me, not what he's given somebody else. See, that's where we get all frustrated in our Christian walk. Well, I just can't be like so-and-so. I'm just not good like so-and-so. I'm just not talented like so-and-so. Guess what? That's because you're not so-and-so, amen? You're not them. You're never going to be like them because God's given them a special set of talents. But he has given you yours. You can be different than them, and you can still serve God, and you can still glorify God. Amen? You can still do that with what he's given you. The master understood that the one talent servant was not capable of producing as much as the five talent servant. We may tend to protest this is unfair, but we know this is true from our own experience, don't we? I know that we can't expect a lot out of certain people, because God's just not gifted them that way. But of those that he has gifted, you know what? That's why they came up with this 80-20 rule about churches. I really believe that. And I really do believe that a lot of times 20% of the work in the church, or 80% of the work in the church, is done by 20% of the membership. Because the other 80% sit back and complain about what they can't do instead of doing what they can do. Amen. See, that's the problem. It's not that they can't be doing something. They're just thinking about sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so and how much they work, and they just try to compare themselves to them. Guys, don't compare yourself to anybody else. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. There's only two people in this room that I know of that have the exact same DNA. And they're sitting right there on that row. Amen? And even they really don't act the same way and do the same things necessarily. But guys, I'm telling you, we were created differently from each other. We were given different gifts. Now, some of us will have gifts that cross over and are the same type of gift. Brother Dennis is gifted with music. Della's gifted with music. Becky enjoys music. So you see, we've got a connection there. Guess what? If you enjoy music, why aren't you up here in the choir singing? Amen. Because if God's given you that gift, he's given you that desire for you to sit out here in the audience when we're trying to get something going up here, you're not using your gift. If God's blessed you with the ability to play an instrument, I tell you what I envision for our church. Let's get a praise band one day. Let's have some people playing the guitar and the drums, flute, whatever. Flute, yeah. Anybody play the flute? Okay. Whatever, okay. You know, the Bible says to praise God with the stringed instruments, amen. He didn't say praise him with just a piano and organ, but a lot of people think, oh, we don't need all up in the church house. What is going to have a piano? Okay, well, all right then. But hey, if we got somebody gifted in other areas, I think we better use them, amen. That's the way I feel about it. Even though we're not created equally as far as our talents, it takes just as much work for the five-talent servant to produce five more talents as it does for the two-talent servant to produce two more. That's why the reward given by the master was equal, in that he tells them they did a job well done and they will be ruler over many things. The master measures success by degrees of effort, as we should. You see, they got the same reward from the master. Well done, good and faithful servant. I put you in charge of a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. And guess what? That's what Jesus is going to do with us in heaven one day. You realize that? Based on what you've done here on this earth, you may have special things that you're going to be doing in heaven one day over other groups of people. I really believe that. So guys, whatever God's given you the ability to do, do it here on this earth. And do it with a cheerful heart. Amen. See, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Let me just throw this in here. I understand Cody let y'all out about quarter till last week. It ain't happening today, amen. All right. We'll get out of here in just a few minutes. I'm almost done. He gave you a break last week. But guys, the master measures success by degrees of effort. Are you putting forth the effort to use what God's given you? Or are you simply just week after week, month after month, sitting back, telling yourself what you can't do instead of doing what God's given you the ability to do? Stand up for Jesus. Stand up for the kingdom. If all you're good at is picking up trash, then be the best trash picker-upper around the campus you can be, amen? We all can pick up trash. Everybody's given that gift, amen? All right, so guys, we've all been given gifts. What are we going to do with them? The fourth thing this parable teaches us, I've got this and one more, is that we work for the master, not for our own selfish purposes. Some of us use our gifts for ourselves. If God has given you the ability to go out and make things happen, you can just talk to people and you can get things done. And then all you start doing is saying, look what I did. Look at my accomplishments. Look at my resume. Look at all the businesses I've helped start up here. Me. And you just forget about God and the whole equation. Guys, I'm telling you what. We were never meant to use our gifts and talents to bring glory to us. It's always to bring glory to the King. Amen. Amen. That's what it's all about. The talents given to the servants was not their own. What they earned by using their talents was not theirs to keep. Guys, the talent and gifts that God has given to you was not meant for you to keep hidden in the ground. They were meant for you to be using them to the glory of the kingdom. And that's the bottom line. Guys, the master seeks the quality of their stewardship. Our Master, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is looking for the quality of our stewardship, not the quantity of it. I may not be a five-talent person, but I can sure be a one-talent person and give all I can to the talent and gift that God's given me the ability to do. If He's blessed me with five, I'm going to find a way to get six, seven, eight. I'm going to keep working for the kingdom. Don't stop, guys. Don't stop. Don't put on the brakes and give up. Throw up the stop sign. Guys, we should never use our talents for our own selfish purposes, but to honor God with them. That's what our whole mission is about. Honoring God, because we live in a fallen world. Guess what? Our work's going to be difficult, isn't it? We live in a fallen world, so we're going to labor. We're going to toil in the hot sun sometimes. We're going to not see a whole lot of fruit from a worldly standpoint from our labor, but I can promise you this, if you're doing with what God has given you to do, you will see it in the end, amen? And that's what it's all about. It's not about the here and now. It's not about praises from men. Y'all are, not y'all, see when I say that, I know somebody's, I ain't talking about me now. Okay, let me rephrase that last statement. A lot of people are looking for praise from mankind. They want a pat on the back. They want to hear an attaboy. And guess what? That's a good thing to do. You know what some people have the gift of? Giving people praise. Letting them know when they've done good. That's a gift. Because a lot of bosses don't have that gift. Amen. They just expect you to do and they don't ever tell you you've done a good job. I'm going to tell you what. If that's a gift of yours to praise people and give them a pat on the back and tell them they've done a good job, then do that. It means all the world to them. I want to encourage you to do that. We can find great joy and satisfaction from doing our best with the talents God has given us. You know what? I thank God for every day He gives me. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, Lord, this is your day. You do with it as you see fit. And you use me as you see fit that day. It may not be something I'm comfortable with, but if you've given me a gift in that area, I'm going to use it for your glory. Some of you say, well, I'm not good at speaking. I have a hard time witnessing to people. Well, do you know how to write? Can you write them a card? Can you type them out a message? Can you text them something positive about Jesus? You can do it. Hey, I'm cheering you on, amen. Maybe I need to get some cheerleaders down here one day and just do some Jesus cheers, amen. Get everybody fired up about what God expects us to do. Guys, the fifth and final thing this parable teaches us is that we will be held accountable. We will be held accountable. That's the scary part. You see, look at what happened with this last servant. Let's read the last bit of scripture here. Verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. In other words, you could have at least invested it in the bank and I could have got some interest out of it. You didn't do anything with it. Look at what it says in verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. Let that sink in for a minute. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. In other words, for those who have been given a gift and are using it for the kingdom, you can expect an abundance of blessing in your life. You can expect an abundance of blessing. But look at this. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. In other words, if you're not using it, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose the blessing that God wanted to give you, and you're going to lose a little bit of that reward that God was planning on giving you when you get to heaven one day because you're not willing to use what he's given you. What's it going to take, folks? You want me to do some cartwheels down the aisle? I bet you do, amen. But that ain't going to happen because God has given me enough sense to know not to do certain things. But guys, hey, God gave you the ability. He gave you the talent. I'm just trying to cheer you on up here. I'm trying to let you know, hey, God's got a plan for you. He's not done with you. How many of you are still breathing in this room right now? Okay, well, I was unsure about a couple of you because your head fell over to the side for a minute. Guys, we're all still alive, right? You know what that means? We all still have a mission. We all still have a mission. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. We all have a mission to continue on this earth while we await Jesus' return. Are you going to be working for the kingdom in between that time? You see, it's all about accountability. The parable is not about salvation or works of righteousness, but about how we use our talents to fulfill our earthly calling. Are you doing what you've been called to do? If you're not, then you're not obeying God. You're not doing what God's called you to do. It's about whole life stewardship, guys. We're in this till the end. We're not in it for a week or two or a month or two. We're in it till the end. Guys, it wasn't so much that the lazy servant wasted the master's money, but rather he wasted an opportunity. He wasted an opportunity. How many opportunities have we wasted this past week of doing something that God's given us a gift to be able to do? How many of us did not do something that God has given us a gift for last week because we let our own self get in the way of it? I want you to think about that. As a result, he was judged, I'm talking about the one with one talent, as being wicked and lazy. We're responsible for what we do for God. With the talents we've been given, and one day we will be held responsible and accountable. And guys, I want to close by saying this one thing here. I want you to listen to what I'm saying real carefully here. What we hear the Master tell us on that day is up to us. Are we going to hear, get out of here, depart from me, throw them out, where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth? Or are we going to hear these words, Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You have been in charge of a few things here on this earth. I'm going to make you ruler over many. Come and enjoy my presence. What are you going to hear one day? Think about it, guys. Give and it will be given unto you. But you got to use the talent and the gift that God's given you. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for this day. I just pray, God, you'll help us all recognize those gifts and talents that we have. And God, that you'll just instill in us a desire to use them. Lord, it's not about us. It's not for us. It's for you. And I just pray, Father, that if there's anybody here today that needs to come up here maybe to this altar and say, you know what, Lord, I haven't been using the gifts you've given me. I haven't been using the talent you've given me. But I want to start from this day forward using it for your kingdom. I just pray they'll come up and pray that. Lord, if there's anybody here today that needs to accept you as their Savior, for real, I just pray, God, they may come and do that today as well. And Lord, in all of this, we're going to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing? Hymn 249. Let's stand and sing hymn 249.